So it did occur to me at this point to wonder if there was a bit of a progression in here in this set of practices, because first of all, there's precious human birth. Like, don't waste. The basic message is don't waste this. And that reflection does provide a basis for faith and confidence, for optimism, inclusiveness. It applies to everybody. There's huge encouragement in that. But as I was saying, it also brings us awareness of the transitoriness of this life, and how easily these conditions can be lost. It does give rise to a sense of urgency that's needed to take advantage of this opportunity now. So that's where these reflections all start off. And then we go into further reflections on impermanence and actions and effects, the nature of samsara, and that's the rest of the four reminders. And those all act to oppose, a deeper level of attachment and dependency on the activities of this life. And they do give a measure of dissatisfaction with samsara. So I can understand that. There is this measure of dissatisfaction with samsara that arises from the reflections on the four reminders. But it does leave open the possibility of practicing mainly for our own sake. Or in Gampopa's terms, that's called taking the Shravaka path. It does leave open the possibility that you go, okay, I'm really seeing this as an opportunity. I can see that I need to have a sense of urgency about it, and I'm more and more convinced about the futility of this kind of action and process of revolving around samsara. I'm going to get myself out of this. So that's a possible. Well, that's probably what everyone what we're all aware of and wanting to do in some way. And Gampopa then is concerned to add in a further set of instructions, because when you do metta bhavana or the karuna bhavana, well, loving kindness and compassion begin, they open us up to the quality of our own desire for happiness and our own desire for freedom from suffering, and let us see that our desire for that happiness and freedom from suffering is equal, it's there in everybody else. Everybody else has that desire. So gradually doing metta bhavana, karuna bhavana in particular, there's an awareness that peace for ourself, which maybe seems like would be possible, peace for ourself would not leave us ultimately satisfied. Because we do the metta bhavana, especially the last, all of it, but maybe there's something in the last stage in particular, the last stage of all the Brahmaviharas, which is about equalizing. There's the equalizing process that goes on in that last stage. What that's doing is it's dawning on us that even if I could take myself out of this, that would not be ultimately satisfying. Because what about the suffering of other people? What about the futile activities, the futility that other people are caught up in? Can I really be satisfied myself when that's still happening? So there's a tension in that, isn't there? There's a tension in that. There's a tension in the move away from samsara. There's nothing wrong with having seeing through samsara enough to really want to and be trying to move away from it. It is necessary to do that. But to only do that in the dual ornament terms, it's the lesser path of the Shravaka. It's enlightenment for your own sake. There's a big question about whether it's even possible, but if you just become caught up in that, then there's something not enough in that. So what we actually need is to have the heartfelt wish to get ourselves out of samsara, but actually also have the heartfelt wish to engage in helping, to engage with the suffering to samsara because of the suffering of other people. So you get this tension. And that's the classic description of the tension out of which the bodhicitta arises. It's a classic, and you get it in. If you've come across Vasubandhu's four factors, you'll probably recognise what I'm saying. And we are going to hear more about that later on in the retreat. So hence, I think this last one, that the bodhicitta cultivation just ensures that our motivation is always, you know, right from the beginning, our motivation is that to gain enlightenment for the sake of all beings. And that's also what's there in the Tonglen practice, when you'd be willing, if you just could, you'd be willing to take upon yourself the suffering of everyone else and give them the benefit of all your merit. That's your attitude. You don't need to bother about whether it's possible. That doesn't matter. What matters is the attitude that you would, if you could, you would. You're even prepared to do it in your imagination, which is the practice. It's the attitude that's important in that. And there is a tension in it. And there's the same thing in the offering of the mandala offering, when you offer everything to the universe. Let's not bother about worrying about whether you actually can give away your merit and that. Let's not do that. It's the attitude that if you could, you do it for the benefit of other people, and you know, includes ourselves, of course.